Today's Bible reading comes from Romans 13:8-10 and Romans 14:1-23. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another, for he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another, and another man considers every day less. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for himself alone, and none of us dies for himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep them between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. This is the word of the Lord.
Last week, we looked at the amazing good news that Jesus has enabled us to be redeemed and reconciled with God and to be brought in to be part of this family of God, to become children of God and members of his heavenly family. All followers of Jesus are members of this family, and Jesus wants us all to get along. One of the very last things Jesus did on this earth before his death was to pray for Christians to be united as one and to be filled with his love for one another. So Paul, Apollos, and Peter may have slightly different beliefs and ways of doing things, but they all believe in the same gospel of Jesus Christ. We have many differences. However, these are not to divide us, for in Christ we are one. Today we will continue to look at living together and fellowshipping as children of God and the need for us to give each other space for our differences. Like all things for Paul, Jesus is our motivation for everything we do in our Christian lives. In Romans 13, 8 to 10, we see that our love for one another comes from the love we have received from Jesus. Paul says that we should leave no debt outstanding. However, there is one debt we should never stop paying off, and that is the debt we owe Jesus for the love that we have so undeservingly received from him. This debt of love was paid by Jesus, willingly giving up his life for you. So having received a gift of love of such unmeasurable worth, we are to love each other. And not necessarily because other people deserve it, but because we owe it to Jesus to live our lives loving people like we have been loved by him. And so Paul then continues to point out that to love one another is the fulfillment of the commandments anyway. The Ten Commandments prevent us from harming others, and to love someone also means that we can't harm them. Anytime you cause harm to someone, you did not love them. Now, this does not mean that love doesn't cause discomfort, because sometimes feeling discomfort is for our own good. If I lie to you and you catch me and you make me face that lie, now that would make me feel discomfort. But ultimately, it will be for my good that you confront me with that, so that I can grow and develop. So it hasn't actually harmed me, but it's been for my benefit. But I really do want to highlight this point. If you ever do something or say something to another member of this congregation which causes them real harm, harm in their walk with God, in that action or words, you did not love them. And we are not to treat each other in this way. In Romans 14, Paul continues to look at how we can live with people with different points of view and understandings, living together in fellowship. And the straightforward answer that we're given is that we are to give each other the grace and space to see things differently without passing judgment. As Paul writes about this, he has one main example in mind to illustrate this, although he will briefly touch on others. However, through this example, we are given advice on how to navigate all beliefs which are disputable. Romans 14:1, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgments on disputable matters. There are many things which I can think of which are disputable matters for the church. However, the issue Paul has in mind is that of whether people should eat meat or only vegetables. Now, this probably has very little to do with modern sensibilities around eating animals per se, but more to do with the fact that most animal products in Rome, to those who this letter is written to, at that time, it would have been sacrificed to idols. Remember the initial advice sent out by the apostles when they sent Paul and Barnabas to preach to the Gentiles? That included that the Gentile believers should abstain from eating meat sacrificed to idols. But Paul, by the time he writes in Romans, clearly doesn't think that this is an issue. Maybe this was one of the differences between Peter and Paul that people were referring to in Corinth when they said, I follow Peter, and another, I follow Paul. But clearly there are some differences of opinions for the first Christians over whether they should eat meat sacrificed to idols. So this is a disputable issue. Now what we need to reflect on first is that for some people in Rome, whether Christians should or shouldn't eat meat sacrificed to idols would have been a very important matter. Some would have had very strong views on it, maybe even saying things like, you can't be a Christian and eat that meat when it's been sacrificed to an idol. Whereas some may have then replied, an idol is just a piece of wood or stone, it's not really a god. So who cares if a butcher sacrificed the meat in front of it? Must admit though, definitely been a part of arguments which sounded something like that in my past. So how can we determine whether an issue is disputable when it might be really important to us or to someone else in the congregation? And there are a few questions we can ask. The first is there a clear and consistent message in the Bible on a topic? And in particular, is this matter about who Jesus or God is or about salvation? So is someone denying Jesus is the Son of God? That is not up for debate in the church. Is someone denying a key aspect of God's nature, like he's the God of love? That is not up for debate. Is someone denying that Jesus died on the cross for our sins? That is not up for debate. Is someone denying that Jesus tells us to repent, to believe the good news and follow him? That is not up for debate. So these are indisputable matters. Another question is, does it directly relate to a clear and consistent message in the Bible, and in particularly in the New Testament, about how we are to live as Christians? Like, are we to love one another? Well, that's a non-negotiable of Jesus' teaching. Are we to love even those people who hate us? Still, this is a non-negotiable of Jesus' teaching. Are we to try to live morally good lives, being willing to call sin, sin, and to repent of that sin? Yes, that's a non-negotiable aspect of the Christian life. Are we to live our lives doing good for others, in particular the poor, the marginalized, and the weak? Yes, that's a non-negotiable aspect of the Christian life. Loving God and loving neighbors are indisputable matters. Trying to live a morally godly life is an indisputable matter. There are the sacraments of baptism and communion also. It is indisputable that we are to do this. However, somewhat disputable is how, when, what they actually fully mean, and what do they do for us. I think these things in the life of the church is disputable. There might be some other things which are indisputable, but I think most other issues are going to be in that disputable matters category. Such things as how much free will do we have, and how much is it about God's election of us? It's disputable. There are passages which kind of speak to both of these, in my opinion. Is there going to be a rapture? That's disputable. People interpret the various passages around Jesus' return differently. Should we sing more hymns or more modern songs? That's definitely disputable. You won't even find any Bible passages directly addressing this. It's got more to do with your culture. Infant baptism. It's disputable. Although the Uniting Church has a particular theological position of allowing infant baptism, in the life of the broader church, that's a disputable matter. The thing is that some of these issues might be really important, and they might be really important to you. So how to handle differences of opinions on issues we believe strongly about? This is a hard thing to navigate. So Paul gives us some advice to help deal with this. Romans 14:3. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. So here we have a case where two people disagree. Both positions are possible to take when we look at what the scriptures say. However, one is more permissive on what is permissible, and the other is more restrictive on what is permissible. In cases where one person permits something and another person does not, the person who permits should not look down on the one who does not permit it. However, also the one who does not permit must not condemn the one who permits. Let's go over this a little bit more to make it a bit clear. So Paul picks up precisely the way judgment works on both sides of the disagreement. Whenever you have someone who is more permissive on an issue, they will naturally think that the person who is more restrictive lacks understanding about that issue. They don't get the nuance. They're not as informed, and so they look down at that person. However, the person who has that more restrictive perspective will think that they have a higher moral position over that more permissive person, and so they will condemn them. So here's something I grew up with. I have always enjoyed heavy music. Now, apart from my brothers and cousins, I didn't know any other Christians who liked heavy metal. And I knew that most Christians in my church disapproved because it was going to rot my brain or influence me towards following Satan or something else. Now, I know that there is nothing inherently evil with a strongly distorted guitar, although it can sound a little dark and even a lot dark. It's easy for me to look down at people who write off all heavy metal as being evil, just as being ignorant. They just don't get it. They don't understand it. But I won't listen to songs in that heavy metal genre which are about the bad things. All right? I won't go there. Nor will I listen to artists whose MO or whose modus operandi are those bad things. I won't go near it. However, my oldest brother will listen to stuff that's a little further down that line than I'm personally comfortable with. And so my judgment shifts to, I think you're being a little bit lax with your moral standards. Did you see the shift? More permissive, the other doesn't understand. More restrictive, the other has lax moral standards. Don't look down, don't condemn. That's what Paul says. Paul continues in Romans 14. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. He will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. This is written to the one who believes that the other is condemning themselves by what they commit. When we're not dealing with the vices lists in the Bible, which clearly articulate things as sinful, which are against God and against His ways, or even things which are related to this, so say like pornography, that relates to sexual immorality, although not directly mentioned. So when we're not dealing with those things, which are clearly in contradiction of God's laws in those vice lists, or related directly to those vice lists, even if that person's moral standard is lax, God will make them able to stand on judgment day. Because here's the truth of it. On some things, we are all wrong. I am wrong about some of my judgments. And you are wrong about some of yours. But our ability to stand before God does not count on us being right about everything. In fact, the only things we ultimately need to be right about is who to place our faith in, and that's Jesus, and therefore who should we follow in this life? That's Jesus. Paul then moves on to briefly deal with an issue that has nothing to do with being more permissive or less permissive, but just a different understanding of a disputable issue. One person thinks one day is more special, and another thinks that they are all the same. Again, this could have been a point of difference between Paul and Peter and Apollos in their understandings. So for us, this might be more in line with, say, infant baptism versus believers-only baptisms. Paul's advice is, look, just be fully convinced in your own reasoning and follow your own conscience. Paul then links this issue back to the issue involving being more permissive and more restrictive, Paul's example is that meat issue. Saying again, what is important is that you are living according to your conscience. The one who eats meat eats it giving thanks to God, while the one who abstains does so giving thanks to God. With my example of heavy metal, if you are uncomfortable with it, then you should not listen to it. If it makes you uncomfortable, you shouldn't listen to it. And I know some people who have come out of listening to the really bad stuff who will not listen to any of it because they know they might get taken back down that track, a little bit like an alcoholic. So don't listen to it and give thanks to God. Well, I'll continue to listen to heavy metal from time to time and I'll give thanks to God. Paul then brings all this back to Christ reminding us that we live to the Lord and we die to the Lord, and whether we are alive or dead, we belong to the Lord. The reason why Jesus died and returned to life is so that we could belong to Him. And when we do belong to Him, He will make sure that we stand when we face judgment. And so that's where we're going to continue on from there next week, from verse 13. So, Jesus has made us to live in community together, to live in fellowship together. However, we're going to have different beliefs about things. We need to have the maturity to give people the space and grace to have those different understandings and perspectives on disputable matters, knowing that Jesus' love and grace is able to accommodate us getting some things wrong in our judgments on disputable matters. Don't look down on each other and don't condemn one another. Remember that ultimately we are called to love one another and to not treat anyone in any way which causes them harm. So let us give each other space and grace to have those differing opinions on disputable matters, and let us not get caught up in them and to cause divisions amongst us, as we are instructed to by Paul. Amen.